Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over seven decades on five continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
Here's an interesting question for you. What are the dimensions of Christ? Well, you say, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how big or how small he was. We don't know if he was tall or short, lean or heavy. Well, that's right. In his earthly body, we don't know. But in resurrection, it tells us. Ephesians 3 tells us that his height is the height, and his depth is the depth, and his breadth and length are the breadth and length. This means that the dimensions of Christ equal the dimensions of the whole universe. What about your Christ? How big is your Christ? Ed Marks has joined us today for this marvelous fellowship on the unsearchable, immeasurable Christ. Welcome to the program, Ed.
Well, Chris, it's a pleasure to be here for this particular program. I can remember that I was in this meeting when Brother Lee shared this, and it is a tremendous revelation, Chris, and I think when you see that the dimensions of Christ are the dimensions of the universe, this should stir us up to pursue the Lord the way the Apostle Paul did.
We're going to need eternity to search him out, aren't we, in all of these immeasurable dimensions?
We are, Chris, and as we'll see, we need the whole body of Christ to lay hold of these universal dimensions of Christ.
That's really important, Ed. That comes up in the verse that we're really focused on today. It's Ephesians 3:18. Let me read the verse in its entirety here. That you may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are. This verse, Ed, is part of Paul's second prayer in Ephesians. And as we have seen, this is the prayer where Paul really is exercised to bring us into the experience or the application of the revelation of the mystery that he's been unveiling throughout this book. Before we get into how this verse is applied to us in our experience, let's take a couple of moments, maybe ask you to put it into the context of the whole prayer here, this second prayer.
Well, Chris, the first thing I'd like to say is I hope that our listeners would pray this prayer even in a daily way. This is a wonderful prayer. It starts in verse 16 where Paul prays, and we should pray this, that the Father would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man. Now, the inner man is our spirit, our human spirit, with God's life as its life. Christ came into us as life, and he came into our human spirit. And our human spirit is now our inner man. So every day we need to ask the Father to strengthen us into the inner man, into our spirit that's mingled with the divine spirit, that as Christ as the divine life is in our spirit. Then when we're strengthened into the inner man, the next verse says that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith. So what happens is Christ spreads out from our spirit into all the parts of our heart. And the main parts of our heart are our mind, emotion, and will. The fourth part of our heart is our conscience, you know, which is also a part of our spirit. But anyway, the main arteries of our psychological heart are our mind, emotion, and will. And the Lord wants to make his home in our mind. He wants his thoughts to be our thoughts. He wants his will to be our will. He wants his feelings to be infused into our emotions. So when we're strengthened into our spirit, where he is, then he has a way to spread out from our spirit into all the parts of our heart. Then the next verse says, this is so that we would be full of strength, so we'd be strong with Christ as our power to apprehend. That means to lay hold of or to seize with all the saints. Like right now on this radio program, you and I, the listeners, we're apprehending more of Christ in his universal dimensions in our fellowship in his body. So this is the context of this verse.
Let's join him as he is going to bring us into the vast dimensions of Christ.
We need to spend some time on these two things, to apprehend the dimensions of Christ and to know the love of Christ. Here, the word apprehend doesn't only mean knowing. It means much more than this. Means what? Grasping. Holding on. We all have to grasp. Grasp the dimensions of Christ. Not just to know, but to grasp, to hold on. The dimensions of Christ are just these four things. The breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. You all have to realize these four things are just the dimensions of the universe. The breadth and the length and the height and the depth. This is the universe. Beside God himself, who knows the measurement of the universe? In the universe, where are the ends? There's no end. But you do have the breadth, and you do have the length, and you do have the height, and you do have the depth. And who can tell how broad is the breadth, and how long is the length, and how high is the height, and how deep is the depth? Who can tell? Immeasurable, so unsearchable, so untraceable, no end. And what are these dimensions? These dimensions of the universe is just the dimensions of Christ. These are the dimensions of Christ, yet I like to tell you what is the universe. The universe is Christ. Amen. To know, not just to know, but to grasp, to hold on the dimensions of Christ. And these dimensions are just the dimensions of the universe.
Well, Ed, quite a striking statement here. He says the universe is Christ. What does he really mean by this kind of strong statement?
Well, Chris, this is a tremendous revelation. And again, you can see this in verse 18, because we are apprehending a Christ. His dimensions are the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. It doesn't say how high, how broad, how long, which means that his dimensions are immeasurable. And his dimensions are the dimensions of the universe. Actually, this means Christ is our universe. Since Christ is so broad, so vast, so deep, we need to pursue him. You know, Chris, Paul wrote another book, the book of Philippians. It's a book on the experience of Christ. And he wrote this approximately 26 years after his conversion. So if you look at this verse, Paul is exactly the opposite of a contented Christian. You know, they're not pursuing the Lord. They're not experiencing the Lord daily. And they're contented. But we should never be contented, because Paul, if you look in Philippians 3, like verses 8 through 14, I just mentioned some things. Paul said he wanted to gain Christ. He wanted to be found in Christ. He said, I want to know Christ. Well, Paul, surely you could say Paul knew Christ. But how much do we know him? We know very little subjectively and experientially. Then Paul says this. He says, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I pursue, if I may lay hold of that for which I have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus. You see, it's the same as apprehending Christ. This means to grasp him, to hold on to him. Well, when Christ saved us, he laid hold of us. Why did he lay hold of us? So that we could lay hold of him. You see, there's two laying holds here, two graspings. And we should never be content. Again, I'd like to say this to our listeners, you know, in the way of another introduction to Brother Lee's further sharing here, We need to pursue Christ. The Greek word for pursue is the same word for persecute. So before Paul was saved, he persecuted the Lord negatively. But after he received the Lord, he persecuted him, pursued him in a positive sense. It's like in Song of Songs, the seeker says, I held him and would not let go. This should be our attitude. And again, Christ is so vast, so immense, and so unsearchably rich that we can never exhaust knowing him and experiencing him.
You know, Ed, I recall a program I did with Dick Taylor once, and we were talking about Mary meeting the Lord on the day of resurrection in the tomb there, and where the Lord tells her, "Don't touch me." Dick pointed out that in Wiest word study, he says the meaning of this word is that, "Stop clinging to me." So here was one who was out of her love, really grasping and laying hold of, even on the day of his resurrection. Something in it.
Yeah, it is something. And Chris, we've got to have the same attitude. And you know, Chris, we'll see in Brother Lee's fellowship that's coming up, in order for us to experience this universal Christ, we need the body of Christ. And we'll see this as Brother Lee shares here. It's absolutely wonderful.
This is wonderful. I think I would just point out to our listeners, it's an application of this matter of the dimensions of Christ extending in all directions. And when you first begin to listen, you're going to be scratching your head. But just bear with his utterance here, because believe me, before he's done in the next 2.5 minutes, we'll all be brought into it and a realization and an appreciation of really how marvelous our experience of Christ is. Here's Witness Lee.
Now, the dimensions are what? Are immeasurable. But from our experience, I know. Our experiences of Christ. First thing, it must be horizontal. Then it goes up to be vertical, to form a cube. C-U-B. Try the best to follow me. Our experience of Christ should not be a line, should be a square. It's not just stretching to be a line, but it should be spreading to be a square. I tell you, this is not a small thing. Don't consider this as a light thing. We all must have the square experience of Christ. We shouldn't have the line experience. All the extremists are liners, just on one line. You may say, Brother Lee, what do you mean? We never heard this kind of thing. Square experience, line experience. We never heard of these things. What is this? What is this? I tell you, I'm not talking something I didn't see or I don't know. I saw this sister, she wouldn't come to the Bible. She said, we have to pray. And once, you know, she knelt down, she would never rise up. She was so earnest in prayer. Then one day, she got burdened to pray and fast for 8 days. Up to the 7th day, the brothers and the sisters that was in my hometown, in that church, couldn't tolerate to see the situation, and they came to me and brought me there to see her. And she was lying in the bed by that time, because over 7 days she didn't eat anything. She was fasting and praying there. Then I went in. I said, sister, you have to take care of your health. She closed up her eyes. She wouldn't listen to a word. That was, to her, an offending word. She would still insist to pray. You know what happened? The next day, she died. What experience is this? This is the line experience. Leading to the extreme. Eventually, leading astray. This is why we need the church life. This is why we need the meeting. Meeting after meeting, listening to all the messages, listening to all the experiences, all the testimonies, all the shares. We got balanced. We got balanced. Just by yourself, you cannot make it. You need the body.
Well, Ed, even that word itself was a balancing word, wasn't it, to keep us from becoming extreme in any one aspect or pursuit in our experience of Christ. But we really need the members in the body to really balance us, don't we?
Right, Chris. It's very clear from the Word that we have to apprehend Christ, and his dimensions are the breadth, length, height, and depth. What are these dimensions? They're the dimensions of a square, even of a cube, which shows that when we are in the fellowship of the body of Christ, we're balanced. We don't become one-liners. You see, like this sister, tragically, surely we need to pray. But if you're so much for prayer and you're not in the Word and you won't receive the fellowship of the other members, this gets you outside of Christ as the cube. You become a one-liner. And instead of you're going in the length, then you need the height.
Right.
And you need the depth.
Uh-huh.
You see, if you're just the length and you go, 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 you get outside the cube and you get outside of Christ, then you're not balanced and then you're not protected in Christ by the fellowship of the body of Christ. And Brother Lee told us of a case of a brother. He was so much in the Bible, he has Bible all marked up, and yet he smoked. At the same time, he smoked. And his daily life was not a good testimony. Why? Because that Bible was just a letter to him. It was just doctrine to him. It became his line. And so he didn't have a prayer life. So this is why we emphasize, too, of course, both of us try to practice this, that don't divorce prayer from the reading of the Bible. Take the Bible by means of all prayer. But again, we need the balance. You see, let's say I'm so much for the gospel. I need to preach the gospel. But we also need to shepherd the ones that we preach the gospel to. You see, this is to be balanced. And again, what balances us, Chris, is the fellowship in the body. When we open up to all the members, we get adjusted, we get tempered, we get balanced. Chris, also, we get answers from the Lord. Consider this. Here's Saul of Tarsus. He's on the road to Damascus. And, you know, the Lord, of course, knocks him down. He gets converted. Christ comes into him. And he says, "What will you have me to do, Lord?" He prayed to the Lord. The Lord said, "Go into the city and it will be told you what you must do." In other words, the Lord wasn't going to tell him directly what to do as the head. He was going to tell him through one of the members of his body. And many times we need to go to the Lord as our head for direction. But there are a number of times when he will say, "I want you to fellowship with another member of the body, and I'll speak to you through that member." You see, so this is the cube experience of Christ that keeps us balanced and preserves us in Christ and in the body of Christ.
Yeah, in the body, Ed, it seems like a lot of examples of this wrong principle that he pointed out here. Any of the good things can become a line, or we might say now a tangent. I think that would convey the same thought to people. It could be the gifts, it could be prophecy, it could be the material blessing. I mean, anything that can become, when taken to an extreme, this kind of line that you said takes us out of the dimensions of Christ in a cube. I really, really appreciate this kind of utterance to help, you know, really bring us back into the proper experience of Christ.
Yeah, Chris, I treasure this fellowship very, very much. I think the listeners, it will help them for their whole future in their Christian life.
Hmm.
Always open to the fellowship of the members of the body to be balanced and preserved in Christ and in the body of Christ.
The body is really our safeguard, isn't it?
The body is our safeguard to the uttermost.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Okay, when you experience Christ in such a square way, you will find out the spreading of Christ is immeasurable. It's immeasurable. It is here you find out the dimensions of the universe are just Christ's. Let's go up. Not just to have a square, but to have a cube. Nothing is so solid as a cube, right? Do you realize that both in the tabernacle or in the temple, the Holy of Holies is a cube? And you all have to know the New Jerusalem will be an eternal cube. I have to tell you, the whole church must be a cube. And your experience of Christ must be a cube. Firstly, you must be square. Eventually, you must be a cube. When we become a cube, we can never fall. And we can never be broken. A cube. Christ is universal cube. Then, the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle was a cube. The Holy of Holies in the temple was a cube. And I tell you, the whole New Jerusalem in the new heaven, new earth will be cube. How about us? Our experiences of Christ must be cube. And lots ups and downs. Lots of backs and forths. Then we have the cube.
You know, Ed, if you take the breadth and length and height and depth, that's the dimensions of a cube, not even just a square, isn't it? I remember when we were in Revelation, and he pointed out that the dimensions of the New Jerusalem were, what, 12,000 stadia in three different directions, something like 1,600 miles in three directions, including up. This is a cube that could never be tipped over or broken, isn't it?
Yeah, Chris, just to add to what you said, I jotted down these verses in Exodus 26. Verses 2 through 8, you see that the dimensions of the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle were the dimensions of a cube.
Right.
Then when you come to the temple, this is 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 20, the dimensions of the Holy of Holies in the temple were a cube. Eventually, the New Jerusalem, it's Revelation 21, 16, the entire New Jerusalem is 12,000 stadia, cube.
Why?
One stadion equals 600 feet, which, like you said, is approximately from L.A. to Dallas, you know, in measurement.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, this is a type. This is a picture showing us that eventually we blend and mingle together with God, become the New Jerusalem. We become a cube. We become the Holy of Holies. That shows that the entire church life should be the Holy of Holies. What is the Holy of Holies? Holy of Holies is the very dwelling place of God himself in his temple. See, we should be the Holy of Holies. How can we be the Holy of Holies corporately? We need this kind of balancing fellowship all the time. Just like we gave the example before, you're so much for the gospel, but you also need to be balanced by being shepherded. You're so much for prayer. You also need to be balanced to read the Bible. You're such a spiritual person, but you also need to be balanced to serve practically. You see this? And you need the fellowship from the members even for direction in your life. Chris, I'd just like to mention one more experience. You know, Watchman Nee, he was in a remote village in mainland China, and he was preaching the gospel, and he wasn't having any success. And there were some villages there who were illiterate. They were very simple people, illiterate. Of course, he was a genius. And the Lord told him, I want you to ask those people to pray for you. And you know, he had to humble himself to ask them to pray for him. As soon as they pray for him, he had the impact in the gospel. You see, we have to depend not just on Christ as the head, but also on the members of the body for our direction, for our supply, and for us to be balanced so that we can be kept in Christ, kept in the body of Christ, and eventually we become the New Jerusalem, a 12,000 stadia Holy of Holies.
You know, Ed, many times I get excited about this thing or that thing, and in the body of Christ, it's interesting. The brothers and sisters will allow you a certain amount of room, but you can always tell when you've gone beyond. Even there's no word spoken, but you just have that very definite sense, don't you? And this is really the Lord's saving to protect us and balance us in the body that we could be eventually really incorporated into the New Jerusalem.
It is, Chris, and it keeps you in the oneness of the body, too. If you overemphasize anything, eventually you end up in division.
Yeah.
So this preserves us in the oneness of the body of Christ, this kind of universal experience of Christ as our universe in the body of Christ.
Yeah, I wish we had more time on this, but we'll have to be satisfied to invite you back for more fellowship in Ephesians.
And Chris, I want to encourage our listeners, make sure, call in or write in, get the Life Study message. The printed message is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it really is.
It will really help you tremendously.
If you'd like to do that, our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. That's all the time we have for today. Join us again tomorrow. We'll continue in Ephesians in this wonderful life study. For Ed Marks, I'm Chris Wall. Thank you for listening today.
In both the first and last book of the Bible, God presents himself to man as the tree of life. Throughout the Bible, God is portrayed as food for man to eat and life for man to enjoy. In the Tree of Life, Witness Lee presents a view of God's heart that is little understood and seldom experienced by Christians today, revealing that it is God's desire that we receive Christ, experience Christ, and enjoy Christ as our moment-by-moment supply. The Tree of Life from Living Stream Ministry is available at Christian bookstores everywhere.